Buenas tardes, hermanos, ¿cómo están? Amén, amén. Para los que no me conocen, mi nombre es Eric Bustillo, soy uno de los pastores aquí. Y como les dijo el hermano anteriormente, estamos tomando una pausa hoy a nuestra serie. Nuestro pastor ha tenido que salir de emergencia y gracias a Dios él ha llegado a su destino con bien. Pero por eso vamos a tomar una pausa hoy. Y hermanos, el servicio será totalmente en inglés hoy. Entonces, si no se le hizo llegar los audífonos, por favor levante la mano y le hacemos llegar una, dos, aquí hay tres. También, hermanos, en sus boletines se les dio los versículos de la serie. Entonces, no se van a usar estas, pero puede usar la parte de atrás para escribir sus notas. Y bueno, con nosotros vamos a tener el pastor Scott Paulson. Muchas gracias, Scott, por estar con nosotros. ¿Por qué no le damos una bienvenida y un gran agradecimiento?
Thank you. All right. Thank you, Eric. Thank you so much for being here, for allowing me to share with you today. Today I'd like to talk with you about wisdom and how to stay on the path of wisdom that God has laid out for us. I'm going to look at a passage in Proverbs. It's just a couple of verses, and they're verses that are very popular. Perhaps you've heard them or learned them when you were a child, or you've listened and heard them, and there really is great wisdom in these verses in the book of Proverbs. I'm going to read it for you, and then I'll talk a little bit about Proverbs and the meaning of these verses together. But it's Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Let me read them for you. It says this: "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways submit to Him, and He will make your paths straight." Perhaps you've heard this passage before. It's found in the book of Proverbs, and the book of Proverbs is fundamentally a book about wisdom. The book of Proverbs is written primarily by a guy by the name of King Solomon, who was well known for his incredible wisdom and insight. And whether you've read the book of Proverbs or not, it's very likely that you've heard wise sayings from Solomon, because over the years, its impact, the wisdom from this book, has had a huge impact in our world and our culture, and you still even hear it today. So it's a book about wisdom, and something that we all need is wisdom. We all want to be wise, and we want to be have greater understanding in how we live our life. And there's a couple of different ways that we can gain wisdom. Let me share with you three ways that we can learn, three ways that we gain wisdom. Because this is an appeal for us to gain wisdom. The first way that we gain wisdom, that we learn, is by making mistakes. How many of you have gotten a little bit wiser before by making mistakes? Many of us, unfortunately, we have to make a mistake to learn something. Perhaps you've heard that phrase, the school of hard knocks. Have you heard that phrase before, the school of hard knocks? It's where you do something and you're like, oh, that was a dumb idea. I knocked my head into the wall and I learned something as a result. So we do something and then we realize that was not wise and we learn from that. It's touching the hot stove and realizing it is very hot, saying, ouch, all of a sudden you're a little bit wiser because you learned by doing. So sometimes that's how we learn, how we gain wisdom. A second way that we learn, that we gain wisdom, is we learn by watching. We learn by watching other people make mistakes. So perhaps you've been in a situation before where you've watched someone else do something, and you paid attention. You said, oh, that's now I'm a little bit wiser because I watched them. Perhaps you watched someone else touch the hot stove. And when they lifted their hands, they had no skin left on their fingers. And all of a sudden you realize, okay, I'm not going to touch that hot stove. And we see this in other arenas of our life. Perhaps you watched an older sibling or a friend or a someone you know, maybe even a public figure, a politician, a leader, make mistakes. You watched them, and all of a sudden you became wiser. So we learn by doing. We also learn by watching. The third way that we can gain wisdom, that we learn, is by listening. By listening to wisdom, so that we don't have to experience the pain of touching the hot stove or watching someone else touch the hot stove, but that we listen to wisdom, and as a result, we learn, and we can avoid that pain. We can avoid that heartache. And the book of Proverbs is God's appeal to his people to listen to him, to hear wisdom so that we don't experience pain, so that we don't fall off the path and find ourselves in a place of danger or peril. So the book of Proverbs is God's appeal that we would listen to wisdom, which is why this passage is actually a very popular verse for parents to share with their kids. Have you ever shared this verse with your kids before? We share that with our kids because as parents, we have lived long enough to make some mistakes, haven't we? We've lived long enough that we've done some things that have hurt, and we don't want our kids to make the same mistakes that we have made. So we say, listen to wisdom. The other thing is, as parents, is we've also observed other people make mistakes. We've lived long enough to watch other people make mistakes, and so we tell our kids, listen, I've learned a thing or two. Listen to me, because I've watched people make mistakes, and I don't want you to fall into the same place. So the Proverbs chapter 3, really it's God's appeal that we would listen to wisdom, that we would avoid those mistakes, that we learn by listening, and that's really what Proverbs is. It's a book written by Solomon, and it's him writing to his kids. He's writing to his kids, and he's saying, listen, I want you to stay on the path of wisdom. I want you to avoid the mistakes that I've made. And Solomon made lots of mistakes. That's part of how he got so wise. He also learned through his own bitter experiences. And so he's trying to encourage his kids to stay on the path of wisdom. And so as we listen to Proverbs chapter 3, we understand that it's from a father's heart, a parent's heart, to stay on the path of wisdom and avoid pain. In fact, the word path or way is very important to understand in the book of Proverbs, and especially in this verse in particular, these verses in particular. The word path and way is used two different times in this passage. Let me read it for you again and so you can hear it and see it. This is what Solomon says. He says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, there it is. Acknowledge him, and do not. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. So he uses the word way and the word path, and this is a very important concept. Solomon is very concerned about the path that we're on, that the way that we're going, because the way that we're going ultimately leads us to a place. The path that we were on ultimately leads us to a place, which is a principle that we learn from Proverbs that I want to point out to you. Here's the principle. The principle is this, that it's the path that you are on, not the plan in your heart, that determines the place that you will go. It's the path you are on, not the plan in your heart, that determines the place that you will go. Let me help you understand that a little bit. The path that you're on determines the place you're going, even if the plan in your heart is different. And we experience this in lots of arenas and lots of different ways in our life. When it comes to our health, we may have a plan to have to be in good shape, to be fit, to hold to an optimum weight. That's the plan that we have in our heart. But if the path that we're on involves us living a life with zero exercise, zero accountability, and we eat a half gallon of ice cream every night before we go to bed, the path that we're on is going to lead us to a place, even if that's not the plan in our heart. Do you understand that? If the plan in your heart is to get married someday, oh, you want to get married and you want to have a very rich and fulfilling, God-centered relationship and marriage. That's the plan that you have in your heart. But if the path that you're on involves you dating people with only these two criteria, are they cute and are they single, then it might lead you to a different place. Because sometimes we even skip the are you cute part and just go to are you single, I will date you. And you may not know where that's going to take you. And so the plan in your heart may be, oh, I'm going to have all this fulfilling stuff, but the path that you're on is rotating through relationship after relationship after relationship. It will lead you to a place that you didn't intend to go. When it comes to finances, we can have the plan in our heart. A plan to say, I want to retire someday. I want to have enough money saved up that I could retire and maybe go to some places that I've always wanted to go to. But if the path that we're on involves us habitually spending more than we're making, it's going to lead us to a different place. Does that make sense? If your plan in your heart is to live a life of integrity and to have a legacy of strong character, and yet you get married, and after you're married, you keep a dating app on your phone. Listen, the plan in your heart is going to, the path you're on, it looks a lot different than the plan in your heart if you're saying, I'm going to keep the dating app on my phone even after I'm married. You see the difference there? You have a desire, but it's the path that you're on, the route that you're going that will lead you to a place, and it may not be the place you want to go. Solomon is saying, be very, very careful about what path you're on. He's cautioning us to be very careful about the path that we're on, because the path that we're on will lead us to a place. And we it's very helpful for us to pay attention and to listen to him in this. Now, perhaps you've heard of stories before about hikers or adventurers who go off on a hiking trail or go on an adventure, and they end up getting lost. And the reason maybe why you're hearing about that story of hikers who got lost is because they found themselves in real danger or maybe even led to death. And here's the deal. They didn't have a plan as a plan in their heart to get lost and lead to death. They just got on the wrong path. And the wrong path took them to a place of great danger and death. And so the question is, when we come to the fork in the road, which path are we going to take? Are we going to take the path of wisdom, or are we going to take the path that leads us to a place of death, a place that we don't want to be? And listen, every single one of us is at a fork in the road at some area of our life. In some area of your life, you're at a fork. You're at a decision point where you have to make a decision. Am I going to go this way, the path of wisdom, or am I going to reject wisdom and go my own way? We're all in different paths and different places. And key to understanding how do we stay on the path of wisdom is not leaning on our own understanding, which is what this passage helps us understand. This passage helps us understand if you want to go down the path of wisdom, we shouldn't lean on our own understanding. Let me read for you verse 5 again. It says this, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. So the invitation of this passage is to trust in God and not lean on our own understanding. But that's a challenge for us, isn't it? Because each one of us, every single day, is tempted to lean on our own understanding. Every single day we're thinking through, what do I want to do? What do I think should happen? What do I think is the best plan, the best path? Instead of saying, God, how can I trust you today? How can I trust you with what you have for me, where you want me to go? And this is an important thing that for us to stop and recognize, because when we lean on our own understanding, oftentimes we're rejecting God's wisdom and we just go with what we want to do. And it can lead us to a place of danger. In fact, even death. In Proverbs 14, verse 12, this is what Solomon has to say. He says this, There is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it leads to death. There is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it leads to death. What seems right to us can take us off the path of wisdom and can lead to a place of death, a place of danger. So we have to pay close attention. Not long ago, I had the opportunity to take my kids swimming. I have four kids, two biological and two adopted from China. Now, the older three, they all know how to swim, but the youngest, Levi, he just turned six recently. He doesn't know how to swim on his own yet, but he loves the water, and he loves swimming. So when we said, we're going to go swimming at the pool, he was so excited. I have a picture of him up here. This is Levi. This is our little guy, and he was so excited to go swimming. Now, because it had been a while since we'd gone swimming, I explained to Levi the rules. Okay, Levi, you don't know how to swim yet. And I know that you see the pool as one giant blue watery playground, right? You just think it's amazing. But for your safety, you got to stay in the shallow area. You need to stay on these steps because as soon as you step out, it's going to be over your head, so you got to stay in the area where the kids are supposed to be. And so we got in the pool, they were having a great time. Levi was loving it, my other kids were loving it, and we were just enjoying the water. Then at one point, while we were swimming, I took diving rings. Do you know what I'm talking about, the diving rings? And I started throwing them out to my older three who are going to go and get them. So I'm throwing them out in the deep area of the water. They're going out to swim for those diving rings. And I turn back around. Guess where Levi was? Completely under the water. He had stepped out. He was completely submerged. The water was over his head. And I see him there, and he's kicking his little legs as fast as he could go. But he's still completely under the water. And I could see his eyes through the goggles in the water, and they were as big as baseballs. I mean, he was panicked. And so I just reached over and I scooped him up. And as I scooped him up, he climbed to like the top of my head. And he was in a complete panic. His little heart was racing. My heart was racing too. But guess what? He got a little wiser at that moment, didn't he? See, in his own understanding, he thought, well, I should be able to swim anywhere I want to, like my older siblings are swimming, so I should be able to do what I want. He was thinking, hey, Dad's rules, they feel really restrictive. Not protective, but restrictive. And so he's leaning on his own understanding, and he put himself in great danger. And we do the same thing. We think, God, you know what? This is your path of wisdom. But everyone else seems to be doing fine over there. I should be able to do what I want to do. Be like everybody else. And we find ourselves in danger. We say to God, you know what, God? Your rules for my life, they feel really restrictive. Not protective, but they feel restrictive. I should be able to lean on my own understanding and do what I want to do. Rather than trust God, we lean on our own understanding. And it says this, there's a way that seems right to a man, to any single one of us, but in the end, it leads to death. When we say, God, we're going to ignore you, I'm going to go my way, we can find ourselves in great danger, just like Levi did. So how do we not lean on our own understanding so that we can stay on the path of wisdom that God has for us, the path of life, the path of enjoyment, the path of fullness? Well, the next verse helps us understand that. It says this, in all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your path straight. So this next verse says, okay, well, not only are we supposed to trust God with all of our heart, but we're to submit to him in all of our ways. We're to submit to him. And how many of our ways are we to submit to God? It says all of our ways. In all of our ways, we're supposed to submit to God. That means we submit to God in our marriage ways. We submit to God in our dating ways, our money ways, our work ways, our online ways, our entertainment ways. We submit to God in all of our ways. And that doesn't just mean on the 1 hour that we're gathered together for church on Sunday. Oh, God, I'll submit to you on this day with my life. But then the rest of the week, oh, that's mine to do whatever I want. No, he says in all of our ways, we're to submit to him. And what we tend to do is categorize. God, I'll give you this, but I'm going to keep this for myself. But this passage is saying, you want to stay out of the path of danger and death? You submit all your ways to him. You submit all your ways to him, and he will make your paths straight. Sometimes we struggle with the idea of submitting to God, don't we? It's hard to submit to God. It's hard to submit to anyone, isn't it? But we submit to things all of the time. Whether we realize it or not, we're constantly submitting ourselves to things. When you submit yourself to a pilot that you have never met, and you climb onto a hunk of metal that you don't fully understand how it works, every single time you get onto an airplane and you fly somewhere, do you realize you've submitted yourself to an airplane, to a pilot you don't know a lot about? You submit yourself to a kitchen staff that you've never met and to a food preparation process that you don't know anything about every single time you sit down at a restaurant to eat. You submit yourself to doctors and nurses and you give them permission to do things to your body because you don't know what you're doing. You don't know how to fix yourself, so you submit yourself to them. And if you go through a major surgery, it's not like they let you stay awake at the operating table telling people what to do. You know, I'm in charge. No. They knock you out. They put you to sleep. You're completely submitted to the doctors and to the nurses. So we submit to things all of the time. God is just saying, will you submit to me? I'm your heavenly Father, and I care about you, and I love you, and I want to make your path straight. Will you submit to me? That's the invitation that he's offering. And here's the thing. When we submit to God, I know it's hard, but we submit to things all the time. We submit to a loving God, a loving Father. And when we submit to God, when we give our lives to him, all of our ways to him, that does not mean that we take our brains and we check it out, that we lose our intelligence by submitting to God. In fact, by submitting to God, it's the most intelligent thing you can do. It's the wisest thing you can do to submit to God because he knows what you don't know and he sees what you can't see. So it makes sense. It's actually wise. And it's intelligent to submit ourselves to God. When I drive places in my car, I use a navigation app on my phone. I don't have my phone with me. Does anyone have like Google or Maps or Waze on your phone? You use it to drive to different places? Does anybody use those navigation apps? Okay, I use it all the time. And my wife used to laugh at me when I would pull it out because I use it almost any time I'm driving someplace, even to places that I know very well how to get there. I use the navigation app. And it's not because I'm unintelligent. It's not because I don't know how to get to work or home or the grocery store. But I use the navigation app. Why? Because I've learned to submit to it. I've learned that it's wiser than me, that it knows what I don't know, and it can see what I can't see. I've learned by submitting to my navigation app that if I'm going someplace in my car, that it knows what I don't know and sees what I can't see, that maybe there's an accident ahead, and that it's going to take a long time if I go the route that I was intending to go. But the navigation app knows that, sees that, can tell me, hey, reroute, go a different direction, and I get there faster. I've learned to submit to the navigation app on my phone because My view, my vantage point in my car, my view is very small, but it can see all the roads and knows all the different traffic patterns. And I'll use it even when I'm going someplace that I'm very familiar with, because sometimes it will show me an alternative route that I didn't even know existed, and most of the time it gets me there faster. Has anyone ever done that before too? So I've learned to submit to something that's smarter than me. So it's not like you're losing your intelligence by saying, God, I want to listen to you, because you know what I don't know, and you can see what I can't see. And God in his care wants to make your path straight. God in his love for you wants to keep you on the path of wisdom. And he knows what we don't know. He knows that, oh, this path that you're on, you're getting off course. Guess what? This is going to be a very bumpy road, and it'll be a very difficult path for you to go down. He knows that. He knows, oh, the road you're on right now, guess what? The bridge is out. And you're going to get into a lot of trouble if you keep going down this path. God knows that. He sees what we can't see. And it's because of his love and his care that he says, I want to make your path straight. And as we learn to submit to him and his ways, not our ways, we learn to submit all of our life, not just this little bit to God, this little bit for me. We learn to submit all of our ways to God. He makes our path straight because he loves us. And he sees what we can't see. He knows what we don't know. And he wants to make our path straight. He wants to guide us. Now, one of the challenges we have with submitting to God is our own fear. We are fearful when it comes to submitting to God. And we're afraid, when it comes down to it, our fear is, God, can I really trust you? God, can I really trust that your way is better than my way? And we're fearful that God's somehow holding out on us, that everyone else, you know, they're just being able to go their own way, do their own thing. So God, are you withholding something from me? And so it's a lack of, can I trust you, God, in my relationships? Can I really trust you with my direction in life? Are you withholding something from me? And the fears that we have are very common, they're real. We all have fears. The question is, how do we address our fears so that we can experience life on that path of wisdom, the life that God wants for us, that straight path? And the answer is found in the very next verse. When it comes to addressing our fears, it says this in verse 7, do not be wise in your own eyes, fear the Lord and shun evil. Do not be wise in your own eyes. So that is, again, not thinking that you've got it all figured out yourself. Don't lean on your understanding, but instead fear the Lord and shun evil. And the words fear the Lord are so important, because the idea of fearing the Lord does not mean that we're to be terrified of God, that we're to be scared of him. But it's to live life with a continual awareness of his presence, that we recognize, God, you're in charge. God, you're here. God, you rule. And it's an awareness of his presence. That's the fear of the Lord, not a scared fear, but that he's awesome, that he's big, that he's in charge. And this is an important thing for us to understand. Now, there are some things that I have fears of. One of the things that I'm afraid of is working with electricity. I'm a homeowner, and I've had to do some things on my home that requires working with electricity. And fortunately for me, I have a friend who's an electrician. And I'm grateful that I have a friend who's an electrician, because I'm terrified of electricity. I hate being shocked. Anyone else just hate being shocked by electricity? I just hate it. And so when I'm working with electricity, I'm scared of it. But I have a friend who's an electrician, and he has a fear of electricity, but it's not the same fear that I have. My fear of electricity makes me want to run the opposite way. But he has a fear of electricity that allows him to understand, oh, he knows it's there when he's working with it. He's aware of it. He also knows that electricity is in charge. It's not that he's going to manipulate and bend electricity to do what he wants. No, it has an order. and it is in charge. But if you work within the order of electricity and you understand how it functions and how it works, then amazing things can happen. And because of my friend, who's an electrician, he's helped rewire lots of parts of my house, and as a result, we have light. And I love light. It's amazing. And electricity, something that I'm running from, is actually something that provides great comfort and warmth and clarity. I can't imagine a house without electricity. It's an amazing thing. But it's because we have two different kinds of fears that he's able to work with electricity and experience the benefits that electricity brings. In the same way, we can approach God, not running from him, fearful of submitting to him, fearful of trusting him, but instead we can say, God, I fear you in a way that recognizes you're in charge, that you're here, that you're in control, and that you have a plan. And that's why I'll give you three things that just helps us remind us what the fear of the Lord is. It's a reminder that God is there, that God's in charge, and God has a plan. We can trust him. We can submit to him. And he will make our path straight because he's a God who is there, a God who is in charge, a God who does have a plan. And he's good, and he wants the very best path for us. But all of us have a tendency to wander off the path at different times in our life, don't we? All of us, like my son Levi, want to lean on our own understanding, and we find ourselves sinking. We find ourselves in trouble. But here's the good news. God loves us so much that he understands that we get off the path. In fact, all of us have wandered, it says in Scripture. And he loved us so much that he didn't leave us off the path, but he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for our sins, to help us get back on the path. Sin basically means you missed the mark, that we've gone off the path. And God in his love for us says, I don't want to leave you there. So he sent Jesus to die on the cross for our sins so that we could be forgiven and set back on the straight path. It's out of his love and his care. So when we fall off the path, listen, it's never too late to turn back to God. That's not a one-time offer, his forgiveness. But if you've fallen off the path, if you're in a spot right now where you feel like, I am way off the path, I've left God's plan and I've gone on to my plan for a long time, it is never too late to say, God, I'm off the path of wisdom. I've been leaning on my own understanding. I need your forgiveness. I want to get back on the path that you have for me. It's never too late to come back to him and say, God, will you forgive me? Will you set me back on the path of wisdom? Let's take a moment and let's thank him for that together. God, we thank you so much for your word, how it guides and directs us. And we thank you that it's your heart and your desire as a parent for us to stay on the path of wisdom, to give us, to help us to live the full life and experience all that you have for us. We're also thankful, Lord, that you understand that each one of us is prone to wander, that in all of our lives we've fallen off the path, that we go our own way, that we lean on our own understanding, and we find ourselves in a place of emptiness, a place of where we damage ourselves and we damage others. So we're thankful for your grace that you continually call us back to keep trusting in you, to keep submitting to you so that you can make our path straight again. Lord, we thank you for your promise of grace and your mercy, your faithfulness. In your name, amen.